I feel like that the Lord has given me a message, and it's to a particular group of people. This message is to people that occasionally have a problem or a difficult or a temptation or a trial. People that are often or sometimes confused, don't know what to do. People that are sometimes persecuted. If you fall into any of those categories, feel like the Lord might want to talk to you today. This thought really encouraged me. I think the Lord wants to help all of us. I'd like to look at the 73rd Psalm. My understanding of this psalm, that it was written, come about as a result of the Babylonian captivity. If you'll remember, the Israelites were, they weren't always faithful. And God had promised them if they would be faithful, that he would do certain things for them. He would be their God. There was nobody that could have in any way overtaken them as long as they was faithful to God. No way. They didn't have to be mighty, strong. They didn't have to do anything majorly to cause this to happen. They needed to be faithful. But they weren't always faithful. And God had told them, and this was prophesied, that he was going to do this. And there come a time that he did it. But as long as there was the mercy of God there, as long as, if you'll remember, there come a time that I think King Hezekiah, the Assyrians, these same people, had come and was over running the lands, the people that was in the lands. And there come a time that they was coming to do the same thing, and they run into Hezekiah. And Hezekiah took his case, though the Assyrian army was mighty. Mighty, overrunning everybody. And was much mightier than Israel. But Hezekiah took the case to God. And he took their letter and he put it before the Lord, and he said, Lord, here we are. And the Lord intervened for him. And he did not fight them. He did not strive with them. God took his part in the part of Israel and destroyed this mighty army, and Sennacherib, the leader, was destroyed by his own family. God worked for Israel. But there come a time that he sent them because of their unfaithfulness, because they had dealt with worshipped idol gods and set up the groves and set up the altars and all the things that was forbidden. God allowed them to be carried into the Babylonian captivity. And I think this is very important to understand, because God gave his people over to a people that was more wicked than they were. And it must have brought some confusion to their own minds. God didn't favor the Babylonians because he didn't do this because he favored the Babylonians over the Israelites. He did it because he favored the Israelites. This is very important to understand. And when they were sent down into this captivity and looked around and said, these people are more wicked than we've ever been. These people are doing things that we've never got to. And yet they are ruling over us. And you have to understand the setting of this, that the Israelites were subservient at this time. They could not do what they wanted to do. In order to serve the Lord, you'll find it in the Hebrew children. You'll find it in Daniel. They was under much stress and strain to be able to do what God wanted them to do. If you remember, the three Hebrew children was under a great strain to begin with, not to defile themselves with the king's meat. They was under a heavy load now. When they was Israel and over there under God, they did it naturally and fine. They didn't have to worry about it. But now they have to push and strive and really work to do it. I mean, they have to put out something. God, help us to be able to do it. They needed God. And this is the setting. They're under great strain right now. They're under a very difficult place. And this is the way the writer starts the psalm out, this 73rd psalm. Truly, God is good to Israel. I'm telling you, that encouraged me so much when I read that under that thought. God is good to Israel today. This is paramount, folks. This is as high up on the agenda as you can get in living for God. You must establish this concept, this idea for future troubles, tribulations, distresses, problems, perils, difficulties to come, all that we've heard coming on this world. This is a must to establish in your heart and mind today as the beginning thought and idea. God is good. God is good. I look around to the world and say there's wars. There's children starving to death. There's things. God is good. But wait a minute. People are persecuting me. People are running me down. God is good. But I'm sick. Sicknesses hit my family, hit my body. God is good. It's paramount. It is everything. God has to be good. That idea that we know God for who He is. God is good. God is love. God is who God says He is. All of what I look at with my eyes and see going on in the world and experience in my life of difficulties does not change this concept. You must have it. God is good. The writer looked at all that was going on and he started off this psalm to sing a song, to say something, to look around and people are murmuring, people complaining. Why would God, if He liked us, if God was good to us, why would He bring us down here? Maybe they wasn't even brought down. Maybe they was born in captivity. Many were born in captivity. And they're born and raised under in this subservient idea. And then somebody's going to come along and sing a song and say, God is good. How is that going to register to my mind? If God is good, what am I doing here? We need to frame everything in life around this concept, not framing God around the idea of what's going on. God is only good if I got good things happening. No, everything is to be set around this idea because it is, as the writer said, truly, truly, God is good. God is caring for you today. And we look, and sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I throw my hands up when it comes to the understanding of things. I throw my hands up and say, well, what is going on? How does this make sense? In the whole scope of things, how does this make sense? It doesn't. I can't understand it at all. But I can know this concept. God's good. God's good, and it means as what He controls of my life is going to work out to the best of my life. Starting with that idea, God is good. He's good, folks. He's good to you. The things that happen need to happen. They need to happen. God preserved His people by sending them down here. The folks that come out of Egypt and went across the Red Sea and saw all the mighty works of God. And at God's hand, many things happened for these people. How could you doubt God that brought them out of the hands of the most powerful nation in the world at the time? brought them out by mighty hand. He's proved to them. It was set in there. The reason for all those plagues, the reason for hardening the heart of the Pharaoh and all of those things and the 10 plagues was well established, that every one of those things that he did, there was a God that the Egyptians had that represented what that was. There was a God of the Nile. It turned red with blood. There was a God of creatures and they was overthrown. All of these gods that Egypt had, God overthrew them in the minds of the people. God was greater than they were. It was represented in the first act where Moses laid the rod down and it turned into a snake, and the Pharaoh's magicians done the same things, but God's rod ate the other ones up. It was that typified this whole thing, that God was showing his people that he is God. He wanted to prove to them, I'm God. You can trust me. You can follow me. I'm good. He brought them out of Egypt and he brought them up to the time. They saw the Red Sea open. They walked across the great miracle. But none of those things sustained them. And it wasn't long before, you remember, they didn't have faith to go and get what God told them they owned, they had. And God was displeased with them because after all that I've done, you still don't have it set that truly God is good. Truly we can do this. And do you know what he did? For 40 years, those that disbelieved of a certain age wandered around in the wilderness and you say, well, that wasn't good. That was good. Still, in all of that, God was helping his people. God wants to help us today in the same way. So let's look at a little bit of the 73rd Psalm. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Oh, I can only imagine. I think that is relevant to today. We try to serve the Lord. We attempt to serve the Lord. And then we look many times, and I've done it myself. I've done it myself. And I've questioned myself, what is this all about? I'll get in a conversation with someone and I'll say a few words that maybe oughtn't been said, and then I go and my conscience starts to bother me so bad I can't take it, and sometimes I worry about it and I get to thinking I need to make that right, and I wander around and I can't hardly wait, and I gotta get on the phone and call somebody up and to say I'm sorry that I said that way, to try to clear things up because my conscience is bothering me and I don't want to be wrong with the Lord, and I gotta do all that, and then I look and people are saying all kind of stuff against me and against other people, and it's just fine with them that they do, and they don't care about nothing. They never lose no sleep over anything. They don't care about anything, and they just go on with it, and it seems like they can live just life that way and don't care about anything. And I look at that and say, boy, it sure seems like that's the better way. I have to deal with it. I used to do the same thing and was so particular about on the job. I wanted to do things right, and I felt like it was right in the Lord, and so I felt like working on a job and getting a paycheck, I should do it just like if I was working for the Lord, and never wanted to be late for the job and wanted to do the job right and those kind of things. And I knew other people. One guy in particular, he had didn't want to go to work one day, so he'd take off, and he was a religious guy. He'd take off to work, and he didn't want to go to work, so he'd go and he'd let the air out of his tire. And then so he could call them and say, I got a flat tire. Well, he had one. He wasn't lying. That's what he was trying. Well, it's a lie, folks. It's a lie anyway. It's an attempt to deceive. That's what he'd done. He let the air out of his tire and called him and said, I can't make it. Well, I got a flat tire. I can't get there. And then he'd go out and do his things and just be as happy in the day. He was just a jolly fella and he could just laugh and just carry on. And I'm thinking all at the same time, well, that would bother me so much I couldn't do it. I don't want to go to work today, but I'm going to go anyway. I don't feel good. I don't feel like going to work, but I'm going to go to work anyway. He ain't going to go to work. He's going to go and he's going to go fishing. He's going to go do something fun, but I'm going to go to work. So I would look and say, and boy, that fella could get a job just any, he could talk, he could get a job just any time he could want one. And I look at that and say, what? It looks to me like that somebody would stop that. Lord, why wouldn't you stop that? Why wouldn't you stop those things? And look around, it seemed like the people that's doing out there in the world and being devious and all those things are prospering and getting things. And the writer, no doubt, was looking at God put us in captivity and we're being servants to these people that are so degrading. They're so foul. They're doing all these things and they're prospering. And I see the good things coming in their life. They eat more than they need. They just have everything and all that in there. And here I am struggling along, trying to get things right, trying to do things. It seems like, and then when I get all that things, and see, one thing falls down, another thing falls down around me, and Lord help me. Truly, God is good. Truly, he said, God is good. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. I know there's different concepts of dying, but I've seen this one too. I've seen this. I've seen men that didn't know the Lord and didn't want to, that was so far from anything of the next world, so far removed from any faith or belief that there's anything else other than this life, that they would live their lives right down to the end and never have a mind of repentance at all. Never have a mind that there was anything harsh. They would go on firm in their ideas, firm in their beliefs, firm in the way they was. They never cared what they ever hurt anybody, any bothered anybody. They didn't care. There was no bands that drew back or done anything to them. They were just as firm as they could be. And I've seen some of the saints die. Dear Brother Jim, I'll never forget in his life. He got down and he was sick and he had lived for the Lord and he had loved for the Lord and he became more serious and more serious all the time. He had to make heaven. He had to make it right. It was a drive in him. He just had to. He had bands in there. And he would call me. Called me one time and said, Brother Marty, would you come down? I need to talk to you. I really need to talk to you. Oh, yeah, I'll be right down. Over and over, this scene played out. And go down there and he'd say, Brother Marty, it came to my mind. About 35 years ago, I had a conversation with a man, and I've done that. I don't know what to do about it. No, Brother Dillon, well, we better pray about it. We didn't do this. And he would say to me, I know that seems petty, but I want to be right. I want to be right. It's getting close, and I know it, and I want to be right, I'm desperate for it. I'm desperate for it, and right down to the end of it, he would say, "Well, Marty, do you see anything in me? Do you see anything? Is there anything that you know? If I said anything, if I've done anything, I want to make sure that it's right. I'm desperate for it's right." And no doubt the songwriter here, this psalmist, he was saying the same kind of things. I look at the wicked, and they just go off into their debts. They can go into war with others. They're gritting in their teeth and their hatred, and they go in and they can be killed and they die easy with it. They don't have no problem with it. They're honored for the way they die. They die the hero. They die like that. And yet, your people seem like they have such a struggle. Such a struggle in it. And I've heard in this meeting a couple times, there's been testimonies in this meeting where somebody, and they used the phrase, "I stepped out of my comfort zone and I done something. And then I had to labor against that thing. I got attacked against that thing. I've been bothered with it." Devil comes in and says, "You look silly. You look stupid." People go to these football games and take their shirts off and they'll write letters on their shirt and they'll be out there 10 below zero. And I look stupid for standing up and saying something for the Lord. They'll wear these big blocks of cheese. They call them cheese heads. And they'll be at these football games and put that on their head. they'll paint themselves in all kind of ways and make all kind of crazy motions and jump up. And how you can get talk about unity, they can get those people in them stadiums to rock all the same way, all at the same time. And do all those things. And it's applauded. Look at this. Look at this. Now they'll say, that's a real fan there getting out there in that weather and doing that. They're fans. They're something on that. And the righteous have such bands. I'm going to tell you what holds us, folks, truly. God is good. Truly, God is good. I'll take that goodness over everything else in this world. I'll take it over every sickness, every problem, every difficulty, everything that comes up. I will take this one thing. To me, I have learned and I know, and it's a relationship place. It isn't just me saying it, folks. What this is that you know it. You learn it. This will hold you through everything in your life when you can say, God is good. God is good. Yes, Brother Jim is saying, yes, I'm laboring with this. Yes, I'm doing all this. Yes, I'm going through all this. Yes, I'm dying. My heart's failing. I'm going down. But I want to tell you something. God saved me. And God is truly good. He's good. He helps. He blesses. He does these things in our lives. I'll take that over all the worldly motions, all the worldly fads, all of the worldly fashions. People that want to look and say, you look different, you look strange. Whatever it is, I can say through all of that, truly, God is good. God is good. Why do you do it? Because I want to know that God that is good. I am reminded of it occasionally, and it thrilled me. Linda and I went to, one of my uncles had passed away, and we went to the viewing. We stopped over at this little park, and I went to the restroom. And I went in. When I went in, there was this little boy came out. I didn't, never seen him before. He never seen me. But as I was going in, he came out. He was this little fella. And as he went out, he stopped, and he turned around and said, "Do you go to church?" And I said, "I sure do." And he said, "God's the best man." I said, "He sure is." He sure did. And I got the biggest thrill out of that little boy and his expression. I don't know how else you can say it. I mean, no doubt it was a part of the number one. We're number one. We're best. But his expression was, "God's the best man." Truly. God is good. He's good to His people. And the things that happen to us, if we could get this founded in our hearts and minds, that the things that happen in life, they truly are a part of God's goodness. It's a part of His goodness. You and I don't know it. We'd never pick it. We'd never choose the course of our own life and do it right. But He's good. And He loves every one of us. And He's wanting that good path. And you're saying right now there's things in my life that seem beyond the scope of that goodness. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing beyond the scope of that goodness. That has to be the first thing. And I'm going to tell you in my own life, and I hope it encourages you too. And I'll be honest with you, there's times that I forget the concept. And I allow myself to wallow in the circumstances of my life. And I'll wallow there, and then I'll hear a voice that says, "And then there's God." And when I hear that voice say, "And then there's God," I'm telling you, I get the greatest sense of uplifting, because then I know nothing's too hard, nothing's impossible, and truly, truly God is good. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence cover them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, and speak loftily. Oh, Lord, help us. I am so glad that I have something in my life that is true. I can really get perplexed dealing with almost any other element in this world because it's corrupt. And it won't take very long before that corruption comes out. Even in warping truth, there's so many different ways to look at things. You know that? For instance, if I work 1 year out of two and make $50,000, I can say I make $50,000 a year. You may work 2 years and make $75,000, and I'll say I made more money than you did, and you'll say I made more than you did. They, the spin doctors in political circles, do that all the time. There's all kinds of different ways of looking at the same sight, the same picture. You see the same picture. And then you can come up with different conclusions about all that. I'm glad God's not a spin doctor. God don't offer the truth of it. But here is what happens in this. Folks, there is a world going on. We live in a world, a carnal, secular, natural world. But if that's all you look at, and if that's all you see, we've already heard that message this meeting, but if that's all you ever see, you'll never see the real picture of what's really happening. But you can look at that picture if you want to. You can see that, and you can explain life through the carnal eye. And come up, but I'm going to tell you, as I deal with that, it frustrates me because it's always corrupt. It's never true to itself. It'll always end up lying against itself. It's never true. But God's way is true. I'm so glad that I have something solid that's always true that I can go to. And when I go to it and it speaks to my heart this, I know that this is absolutely truth. This is absolutely right. He talked about these, and they have more than they want, and they speak what they want, and they do those things, and it's so hard to understand, and it comes off so glamorous sometimes, and it makes such popularity sometimes, and people flock to it, and you get discouraged because the simple truth doesn't hardly ring to people, but yet the fallacies of this world goes through, and people just grab a hold of it. Just grab a hold of it. And then it falls away. I'm not up on all this, but I heard a little blurb the other day that they opened up, what was it, Facebook to the investors. Well, that's such a big thing. It's so popular. All these people started pumping their money, throwing their money at it, and then all of a sudden it fell out. And the people say, well, I thought this was a sure thing. I thought this was something. I mean, that's what everybody was talking and all this. And the ones that was up there at the top said, oh, we didn't say that. We wasn't going that way with it. This is just what happens. You invest money, you lose some. It's a risk you take. Thank God. There's no risk in this one. God is good. Truly, God is good. God is out for your welfare today. God is looking after you. And when that you feel that pain or you feel that frustration or you see that place, remember this. This is God. And He's good. And He's always good. And He's good to you today. And He's working for you today. I'm going to tell you, there's another scripture that says that it's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. Oh, you say, well, what led me? Yeah, the troubles I had, the difficulties I had, the places that I got into. I was miserable. 23 years old, miserable with life, run out with life. Looked like I should have the whole world. I was tired. I was sick. And the relationships that I had was bad. Everything was bad. All of that. God did that for me. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for bringing me to troubles and heartaches to bring me to a place that I could be in a good life. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God. God's good to you today. He's wanting to be better. He's wanting to be better. The hands of the wings of His is over you, protecting you against the things that would really truly hurt you. He's good all the way through. I'm gonna tell you, when I got a hold of that scripture, that He wrote that starting off as if He thought of all of this before He wrote it, and then He started it off by saying, "Truly, God is good." He's good to us. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. They set their mouth against heaven, the heavens. I remember one time when I was a young boy, we had a flood over there, and my neighbor, the water was going down there, and he was quite a hot-headed, tempered type man, and he got on his tractor, and there was this great torrent of water, and I don't know what he thought he could do with the tractor, but he was out there trying that tractor, going back and forth, and every once in a while, in this flash of lightning, we'd see him with his best boy up into the air, and he was shouting and doing that. And I wasn't saved and a long ways from it, and didn't think a whole lot about God or religion, but I wanted to stay away from him. doing that, I had enough respect for God to say that is not something that you would want to do, what he was attempting to do. But this is what this is, and I look and may say, I remember another young man that was having trouble with his job, and he made a comment to us. He said, "Those guys on the job better be glad I'm not God." I said, "I'm glad you're not God." Are you thinking like that? I'm not glad. It took me just a little bit to think, "Oh yeah, well, I might have been one of those guys a few years ago." I'm glad you're not God too, because God's good. God's truly good. And even to this, you and I would look and say, if I was God, I'd stop that in an instant. I'd change this world. I'd blast them people. I'd make them do right. I'd do all that. But I'm going to tell you, God's good. Truly, God's good. God is long-suffering towards these people. God's long-suffering towards us. God's good. He isn't willing that any should perish. He's working. He's laboring. He's trying. His heart's broken. The people have given up so much on Him, but God is still good. God would love for this country to turn around. God wants this country to turn around. He gives them the will, the choice to make, but God would love for them to do it. He still works towards that end. God still does those kind of things. I'm going to tell you, you look at the happenings of 9-1-1, and you can say it any way you want to say it, but I'm going to tell you, God is good. And that happening, and I was out in the field a lot at that time. I was out in the work a lot at that time. I'm going to tell you, for an instant, people started looking and wondering and started thinking about God because of that. Because of that instance. And I say to the Lord, I wouldn't want anything bad to happen. I don't like bad things. I don't like the deaths of earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and stuff like that. But I also say, Lord, have your way in the hearts of men. Lord, you're good. You're good and your ways are good. Lead men to repentance, Lord. Whatever it takes, lead men to repentance. Save our family. Save those around us. And you say, well, how do you do it? He's got to touch them some way. I'll say it further than that. There's times He's got to do that to touch us. He's got to bring something to say, wake up. Wake up. It's not that we're all lost and going the wrong way. Sometimes life makes you sleepy. Like sometimes things get dull and some things happen and the Lord's got to shake it. And He does it because He's good. Truly. Truly He's good. Therefore His people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. I don't know totally about that expression, but I think I understand what the writer was getting at. It's like the world or these people, he was talking about the Babylonians, of course, but it's like every time we get into their hands, they wring us. Just wring. That's what we are to them. You ever feel like you're in the wringer? Being wrung? I'm going to tell you, God was on His throne when they was being twisted and wrung out. Oh, I don't want to be wrung out. I don't want to be wrung out. But there's times God says to somebody, wring them out. Every time you get in that grasp, you're ever in a place that you can't shake loose? I'd like to shake loose of this sickness, but I can't get loose of it. I'd like to get out of this difficulty, but the fire's burning anyway. And it's getting hot, and I want to get out. I can't get out, and I'm being wrung, twisted, wrung up. Going along in life, and you all probably heard me tell this story before, but I won't go into details, but I had a guy get so mad at me that he pulled a gun on me and had it at my head, and with every notion he wanted to kill me. I don't know. I think the Lord stopped him, but there could have been better sense involved and things like that to do it. But he had the gun up to my head, and then instead of shooting, he just go back and just jammed it into my head, knocked me over, and then started pounding on me, and all those things. Let me loose. Get me out of here. Ring. After all that, I went away, and there wasn't hardly a scratch on me. I don't obtain supernatural strength, but this guy tried with all of his might to pull me out of the truck seat, and I didn't even hang on hard. He couldn't do it. God was good. God was good, but I was in a ringer that I didn't want to be in. But I do want to tell you something. That's been greatly valuable to me. I would not choose it if the Lord come and ask me right now, you want to do it again? No. But God was good and he knew what he was doing. And what looks close to you, what looks like almost to you, is an eternity away for God. It isn't the same. In my mind, I was almost killed. In God's mind, I never got close. Because he's that able. God is that able. And he was good. And he looked down on my miserable, pitiful life. And he said, I'm going to have mercy again on him. And I'm going to wake him to brighter things and better things. And I'm going to make better out of him. I'm going to do something for him. And I say, truly, God is good in that. And if I lose track of that, I get to wallowing down in that place. How can I be, honestly, how can I hate a man that done God's will for my good in my own life? I don't. It's because God's good. But if I look at it through the natural carnal, it's going to bother me, see. I need to know something higher, and it isn't well established in my mind. God's good. And he's working good for me. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? And we'll take it from two different ideas. First of all, it doesn't specifically state and they and who they are. And they say, perhaps it was the Babylonians saying, and they say, how does God know? Can do anything to these people I want to do. There is no retribution to what I do for them, against them. I can treat them bad. I can run over them. I can take their things. I can do any manner of thing I want to. How does God know? I'm going to tell you today, he knows. It is only here that it's lost in memory. None of this is going to be forgotten. God knows. And supposing it was God's people saying, in a time of faithless thought, how does God know about it? I want to encourage you today of this fact. God knows about everything about your life. There is nothing hidden from God. The smallest thoughts you have today is noted of a great God. And he's good. He knows why you are what you are, how you become that. He knows the choices that you make. How does God know? God knows. And that's another encouraging thing to me is because I know he's good. And I'm glad that he knows. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. You ever think that? I'm going to tell you. I'm so glad to be saved. I am so thankful that God saved me. I have not washed my hands in vain. I have not sought God in vain. For what God done, I told somebody recently, maybe one of my sons, I said, you know, I'll be 50 this year. And if God would take me this year, I'd have to testify. It's been good. Thank God for the saved life that he's given me. I don't feel like in any ways that I have had a bad life because the Lord saved me. Difficulties? I went through some things that I never thought that I'd ever face. Never in my imagination did I think that I'd go through some of the things that I went through. But I have to say, at the end of all that, God's been good. God's been good. I had someone say one time about me, and after all these things that I went through, and somebody told me, they said this. Oh, said Marty, said, he's been the luckiest feller. He said, they said, everything always went right for him. I said, thank the Lord that I gave the right impression. Because the truth of it is, it's all went right for me. I didn't see it at the times that it was going, but it was going right. And I testify to you, I wouldn't use the term lucky. I'd use the term blessed. Yes. Marty's been blessed. And everything's turned out right for him. Yes. Thank God. But it was only the Lord that did it. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Oh, Lord, Lord help us. Get your eyes on above that thing. Get it on up there. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Isn't there a scripture that says that for this light affliction? Or this light, I mean, Apostle Paul wasn't going through a minor thing when he said this light affliction. But it's just for a little while. It doesn't really add up to the weight of what's over there. So he could call it just a small thing. It's just a little thing. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generations of the children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. The exhortation we had this morning before prayer was absolutely accurate. It's over there. No one that's ever went over there, it's right. It's right. It's good with the righteous. It's well with the righteous. And when the writer went to the sanctuary, because to be honest with you, if all your view is carnal, secular, temporary, you'll always be perplexed by it. But when this songwriter, and he said early on, and here my foot almost slipped, I almost was gone. But again, almost to God, and yours different. But when he went to the sanctuary, when he weighed the whole picture out, when he weighed the whole scene, when he saw the whole duty of man, when he saw the whole life of man, when he saw from the beginning of it to the end of it, then he said, I understand their end. In a few vapor-like moments of human life, eternity is chosen. And the songwriter saw it. In a few moments of withering like grass, choices are made forever. For eternity. And he looked at it and he said, their wealth has increased. And they've got poorer. They've gained the more. They've gained dominion. They've gained power. And become weaker for eternity. I looked and I saw the gain of the world and the gain of all that goes on out there. And I found myself standing here knowing God. Being blessed above all. I'm richer. I'm stronger. I'm better than I'd ever been before. Because truly, I can say, truly, God is good. And the world runs to its pleasure when I don't. And I look and say, they're having such fun. They're having such excitement. Young people, get a hold of this. The world's running in its fashion and its fads and its and all that it's doing for its time here. And they do it with a smile on their face and they do it with a laugh. But you ain't seeing the whole picture. Do you know that the suicide rate in the United States is higher than the homicide rate? People are thinking less about their own, what they are in creation than what other people are thinking about them. More people die that way. You think of that. How hideous, how wrong, how absurd, how sad. I'm going to tell you, if these people with the problems that drove them to suicide would have had one major thought paramount in their minds, they would have never have done it. Truly, God is good. And that whatever I have to do here, God's still good. Oh, Paul says in the last moments, you can see it over there about 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, is when he comes to his last, he knows him, I'm about to be offered. He said, I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. Thank God I kept the faith. I went through all of this that tried to rob me of believing that truly God is good. And none of it ever conquered it. None of it ever done it. And now I can with great grace and great strength and a gladness and I'm welcoming my opportunity to see my Jesus, and I go willingly. I'm not going to struggle. I'm not going to strive. I'm not going to kick. When they lay me down, I'm going to stretch it just a little more. You can only take off my head. I've secured through Christ my forever, my eternity. And I don't you suppose that God, that Paul would have said in those last moments, brethren, truly, God's good. He brought me through the place, and when I wanted it the least, he sent a messenger to me of Satan to buffet me. When I wanted it and expected it the least, here it came and I didn't understand it. So I sought God and he told me, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. Lest you be exalted above your measures. I gave you something. And he says, thank God for it. I'll take it every time. God is good to do that for me. God is good to send this my way. God is good to stop me. God is good to lay the check on me. God is good to be my father that chastises his son because he loves him. God is good. God's good today. God wants every one of us to be in health and prosper, even as thy soul prospers. And that even as is so important. Because honestly, we need to get to the place that we can say the same thing. Lord, save me at any cost. I will give to you the right of my life that you made me with. Save me, Lord. Save me from myself. Save me from this world. Save me through the incidences of life. Help me to realize always that there is a God. Help me to realize always that I'm feeble and unable to guide my own steps. I have said many times when I did not know what to do, my prayer to the Lord has been, lead me by desire, Lord. Put the desire in me. When I say I don't know about going to that meeting, and Lord, if you want me to go, and I'm sitting and saying I don't know if I want to go, Lord, give me the burden to go. Give me the desire to go. I want to be led of the Lord. Help the incidences of life. And I said, Lord, if I'm not supposed to be there and I want to be so bad, stop me. Stop me from going. I'll take that incident and say thank the Lord for that. The Lord truly is good. I'm going to tell you one other thing that has been remarkable in my life of how many times that the Lord has brought sickness. And I'll just have to tell you, I get really, when my children get sick, I get real My mom used to call me an old hen. She said, you're just like an old hen with them children. Well, I am kind of like an old hen with my children. But how many times the Lord allows that to be touched right at the time that I need to do something for the Lord, and the child gets touched and I become so unable to do anything for the Lord. So I get out of the way and he does it. And over again, I've said before, I'm going to have to apologize to my children because the Lord sure has to touch them to you. But it's so true. The times of the greatest anointings on my life has been at that time, because I fade away and say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. Lord, I've got duty. You've led me to this place and I can't do it. Lord, you've got to help me. I seem like I can't do anything for myself. And then when I walk away from it, I'm like, oh, Lord, why did I doubt you again? Over and over. Truly, God is good. You pray for me.